Emergency Matters, the RF and Microwave Update Series. I'm Pat Hindle. I'm here with my co-host, Gary LaRude. In this episode, we're going to continue our coverage of the April amplifier and oscillator issue. As a reminder, the cover story is written by authors from Mitsubishi, and they go over how they're implementing machine learning and artificial intelligence to optimize the power amplifier characteristics and operating conditions. And so they go over a couple of advanced architectures that they're using and then how they implement the machine learning algorithm. So one of our better articles I've seen in a long time.
It's a great article.
Good to check out. So what do we have for product features?
So we have a couple of product features in the issue. The first is from RFHIC. They have a 30 kilowatt microwave generator that runs from 900 to 930 megahertz. As a microwave generator, it includes a synthesizer as well as a suite of GaN power amplifiers. And then our second product feature is from Precision Receivers. They have a receiver technology, a proprietary technology, that can be added to an existing receiver to improve the dynamic range. So they claim the spur-free dynamic range can go up by 9 to 12 dB, which is very significant.
A lot of amplifier stuff in this issue.
Exactly. So how about tech briefs?
Yeah, so for the tech briefs, we had a 27 to 29 gigahertz, 10 to 40 watt power amplifier with an optional synthesizer from Exodus Advanced Communications. And we also had a 30 gigahertz traveling wave amplifier that's optimized for 32 gigabit per second NRZ and PAM4 modulation from Hyperlabs.
Yeah.
So everything you want to know about power amplifiers are in this issue.
Exactly.
So there's been a lot in the news about the Mars mission and their successes there, but none of that is available unless we have the technology for satellite communications.
Right.
And one interesting company that's doing some great work in that area is Teledyne E2V Semiconductors in France. They've developed a prototype direct conversion to Ka-band SATCOM solution. So you can imagine that because it's direct conversion, it could do all the frequency bands up through Ka-band in one front end. So that's really interesting. You could see in the future software-defined radio that just uses this one front end and is able to communicate at any satellite band. So they did a really great demo video. So let's take a look at a clip from that now.
Then I will move to the Ka-band. So in the last frequency I will show is the in the Ka band, so with an input signal at 28 gigahertz. So here the acquisition is launched and the spectrum plot is shown here. So you have the fundamental tone here folded back at 5 gigahertz and with the harmonics, a third harmonic making the spur-free dynamic range of around 54 dB relative to the full scale. In terms of performance, I can show you again the SFDR. So the SFDR is around 48 dB relative to the carrier. We have an SNR of still 34 dB, a total harmonic distortion of minus 47 dB.
Thank you, Romain. You have presented a very exciting analog-to-digital converter. This is the first Ka-band sampling analog-to-digital converter on the market. Of course, this is a proof of concept at this stage, but the team is already on track on the development of the next generation of products based on the lesson learned from this concept.
So you can catch that full video on our website at videos.microwavejournal.com, and they have their own channel there, so Teledyne E2V Semiconductors in France.
Nice.
So turning to the news, I've noticed that some of the automotive sensor companies, some of the smaller ones with that really high resolution 4D radar sensors, are using it for other applications other than the traditional autonomy on the external part of the vehicle. So VIAR Imaging announced that they've been approved by the FCC through a waiver to be able to use their 60 gigahertz radar for in-cabin sensing. So the first application that they're going to address is infant sensing, so you can't leave your car with the infant in it.
Right.
But you can see with this 60 gigahertz radar, you could do a lot of other things within the cabin to be monitored. So that's a really interesting application. And then we also had Under and Yunsan Technologies in Shenzhen, China, partner to bring their digital perception radar sensor system to autonomous vehicles, autonomous trucks, within the port cities.
Oh, interesting.
So within the port, they have these autonomous trucks that take the shipping container from the ship to the transportation area. And those are usually autonomous, but they have to be able to work with people and avoid other objects.
Yeah.
And with this sensor system, they're able to accurately position within 5 centimeters. But you can imagine that this environment is really difficult for radar. It's a bunch of corrugated metal everywhere. Mm-hmm. So you have to have really high resolution sensors to be able to see a person or a smaller object in front of the metal. So they have been doing some amazing work there. And they also have to avoid interference. They have a lot of these radar sensors. So they have a really unique CDMA-inspired modulation scheme that avoids that. So one last news item I wanted to highlight was EMMITE from Spain. They've released a 1 to 220 gigahertz 5G OTA test system, all the way to 220 gigahertz. And it's a fully automated system for GNOBs. So they can do the full 3GPP standardized testing for GNOBs in this 1.8 meter compact antenna test range. And it will save a lot of time and money. So it's a pretty amazing system to me.
It's kind of future-proof going all that way to 220 gigahertz.
So what did you see in the news?
So a very significant announcement from Qorvo. Their biotech unit has developed a rapid antigen test for COVID-19 that can deliver results within 20 minutes. They have received emergency use authorization from the FDA to actually start using it, and they've received $24 million from NIH to accelerate the time to market, so start production. So as you well know, I think one of the major issues the U.S. has had, and not exclusively us, but has been the lack of rapid testing to detect COVID-19. So this is a significant event, in my opinion. You can see these units used in doctor's offices, pharmacies, colleges, universities, anywhere that you need to get accurate and rapid results. So our congratulations to Qorvo for that. And then second news item, Verizon has awarded contracts to Samsung and Ericsson for the C-band RAN equipment that they're using to fill out the spectrum that they just won at auction from FCC. So that'll be deployed over the next year. And I thought it interesting that they're going to be doing fixed wireless access as well as mobile 5G with this spectrum. And both Ericsson and Samsung will be delivering massive MIMO radios as part of that deployment. So 5G continues.
So turning to events, IMS is coming up starting the week of June 6th. And you and I will be attending there in Atlanta.
Yep.
So this is a hybrid event. It'll be in person the week of June 6th. And then 2 weeks later, there'll be a virtual event. And just a reminder, if you register before the deadline and attend at Atlanta, you will also get free access at the same level to the virtual event. So you can catch any talks that you missed or visit any exhibitors in the virtual booth that you missed. And also we'll be adding a session track from the exhibitors so you'll be able to learn about their product technologies there as a part of the virtual event. So it's not confirmed yet, but the satellite show that was delayed from March until July in DC is probably going to be delayed until September and may move from the downtown convention center to the National Harbor in DC. But we'll confirm that next time.
Yeah, I'm glad I haven't made any plane reservations yet.
Yes, you will be attending that one, right?
That's right. And one other announcement that we wanted to advise, we have a new podcast that we're calling Industry Icons or RF Industry Icons. And we're trying to interview and get the stories of the major players in the RF microwave industry. And our first one is with James Rowdio, who started Sonnet Software. And he's also an IEEE fellow, lifetime fellow, and kind of a historian of James Clerk Maxwell, which I think is fitting given Sonnet Software. And we had a wonderful conversation with him. And what, I think we're going to release that this month or next month?
This month.
So watch for that. Subscribe to our podcast feed. You can find it at podcast.microwavejournal.com or on your favorite podcast app. And I think that's a wrap for this episode. We want to thank you for watching, and we want to thank our sponsors, RFMW, a pure play microwave distributor. That means they just focus on RF, microwave, and millimeter wave products, and they have an outstanding lineup of suppliers. And we want to welcome a new sponsor this time, Teledyne E2V Semiconductors. They are a high-performance semiconductor company doing specialized components and subsystems for a variety of markets, including aerospace and defense, medical, and instrumentation. And the converter technology that we've talked about is a good example of that. Thanks for watching, and we'll be back in a couple weeks.